You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. New charges of influence peddling by the Biden family, this time while Joe was a sitting vice president. The New York Post reporting a real estate firm tied to Hunter Biden received $100 million for property investments back in 2012. That money from the wife of the former mayor of Moscow, himself charged with fraud. This, as new whistleblower documents reveal, that President Biden was aware of Hunter Biden's business arrangements and may have been involved in some of them. Some Republicans, like House Conference Chair Elise Stefanik, are now talking about the potential of Biden being impeached as a result of these crimes.
That's a pretty big breaking story, as you hear from Maria Bartiromo on Joe Biden knew and actually directly benefited from Hunter Biden's dealings with various countries, including our enemies. That is according to a piece in the New York Post. This is October 18, 2022. This story is one we say in the business will have legs. Now, I know there are many that believe, well, this is just more of the so-called things we get from Breitbart all the time, that it's just going to be more made-up nonsense. Kind of like what the Hunter Biden laptop was, right? And I'm sure there are those on the left and inside the administration is going to cry out again, Russian propaganda. But according to this New York Post article, and the Daily Mail is also reporting, Hunter Biden received a $40 million real estate deal in 2012 with the Russian billionaire and wife of the former mayor of Moscow while Joe Biden was vice president. Now, the deal had previously been connected to a reported $3.5 million she paid Hunter's real estate entity to access the American business market. And again, that part coming from the Daily Mail. This $40 million real estate deal was part of a pooled real estate fund allocated into long-term investments Hunter identified as profitable in the U.S. of A. The overall acquisition included acquiring seven office buildings through Texas, Colorado, Alabama, New Mexico, and Oklahoma, and also pointing out that Hunter's firm put $15 million of its own money inside the fund. Still not sure where that money came from. And again, all of this taking place while Daddy was vice president. And there's a picture from 2015 showing this same Moscow beneficiary, Russian oligarch, with Hunter and then Vice President Joe Biden at Cafe Milano in D.C., one of 17 instances documented where Joe Biden's been involved in the Biden family business. We're going to spend more on this, of course, coming up primarily in the second hour because we got a lot of other stuff going on. Oh, and this you cannot ignore. Biden now planning, I told you, could have marked it down. I told you this is going to happen. He's going to release even more barrels of oil from our strategic reserve, trying to keep the gas prices low before the midterm elections. Surprise, surprise. That means our oil reserves are currently at the lowest level since 1984, and they're going to go down again. I've got a couple guests today I want to make sure you hear from. One is Nathan Blake, senior contributor with The Federalist, and he talks about that Virginia Democrat that is plotting to charge parents with a felony, possibly, if they do not accept their child's preferred gender. This is how far we've come. And we're going to get into this woke attitude and how it's carrying the Democrat Party away and to their destruction, I might add. We'll break that down. Also going to be joined by Professor John Ellis, University of California. He wrote a piece for the Wall Street Journal, basically, that I want to focus on. And it deals with the aspect of where we're going in this nation and what's going to happen next. And primarily, that includes a case going before the Supreme Court that you need to be aware is going to happen. Some say, well, it's basically just a race case, right? No, it's really more than that. It's going to involve arguments over the use of racial preferences in college admissions. That's been going up considerably, and often to the detriment of Asians and other, quote, minorities. A lot to cover. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Heat bad production, he got walrus gumbo.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The anger, the worry, the disbelief, the unbelievable fact that for the first time in our history, the Supreme Court didn't just fail to preserve a constitutional freedom, it actually took away the right that was so fundamental to Americans. It took away a right. And the fear that now that most personal decisions may not only be made by the woman and her doctor, but by politicians to make that decision. The Dobbs decision, the court practically dares women to go ahead and lead and be heard. One of the most extraordinary parts of that decision, in my view, was when the majority wrote, quote, women are not without electoral power. Are not without electoral or political power. Let me tell you something. The court and the extreme Republicans who spent decades trying to overturn Roe are about to find out. As they say in one of the towns, they ain't seen nothing yet.
They ain't seen nothing yet after he does that whisper, they're going to find out. Well, It's theater. I understand theater. I kind of do some of that for you as well here. That was Joe Biden today speaking just about an hour or so ago at the Democrat National Committee talking about what we're going to do when it comes to midterm elections because abortion will be our rally cry. Really, it won't. It's not polling very well among many. It's not that big of a deal. Now, it's less than of a deal now that it was right after the issue happened, which means the farther you get from it, unless you or your family are directly involved in a concern about an abortion, then it probably is not at the top of your watch list. In fact, let me share this with you. I'm looking at some of the responses so far on where we stand on the issues that are going to be important for voters this time around for midterm. Now, if Joe Biden has his way, you're going to be more concerned about abortion than anything else. You do know that a majority target of abortion clinics is minority neighborhoods. They make them extremely accessible if they can. And you do know that we've had the majority of abortions are minorities, and the largest majority of that would be blacks. Black Americans. No telling how many hundreds of thousands of black children were aborted. And we have no idea how much wisdom, hope, dreams they could have added to our current and future because they never had the chance. But if you're going to build upon the fact that abortion is going to be a prominent issue, I'm looking at a piece from NBC News that said, ahead of the midterms, black women, according to this poll, are most concerned about, stand by, here it comes, most concerned about the cost of living. A new national poll of black women voters reveals a demographic highly motivated to vote in the 2022 midterm elections. This is reading directly from the NBC News report. They're motivated to vote, highly motivated, in the 2022 midterm elections, with an overwhelming majority citing pocketbook issues, the cost of housing, groceries. Those are their core concerns. And among the established key voting bloc that you have here, they point out reproductive rights and crime gun violence also emerging as concerns. Change Research conducted this research. Change Research. They did the survey, and out of this poll, conducted from September 29 to October 4, 4% margin of error, and it was commissioned by the Higher Heights Leadership Fund, nonprofit organization, a political action committee that works to elect black progressive women nationwide. In this survey, respondents provided one word or phrase to describe black female representation in politics before the pivotal midterms next month, which will determine, of course, party control in the Congress. And again, I'm reading from NBC. These are not my words. The majority of black women who responded said they believed they were underrepresented or that more representation was needed. And nearly two-thirds, 67%, said they are more motivated to vote now than ever. And in fact, it points out the number of black eligible voters growing steadily in recent years, projected to reach 32.7 million by November. That's according to the Pew Research Center. But it also found when it came down to issues, what was going to drive black women to the polls? A majority, 76% of black women, said they're extremely worried about inflation and rising cost of everyday essentials. Rent, housing, groceries, gas, affordable health care. And a third cited the rising cost of rent and housing as their top concern. So pocketbook issues ranked number one and two. Reproductive justice, a distant third, only 21%. It was followed by rising crime and gun violence. But here's Joe Biden and the Democrats are putting everything into the basket on the abortion issue. That's what they're going to try to do. They're going to try say, this is where we go. This is our path to victory. So again, Joe Biden today is saying, just look where we are now in our current status since the Roe v. Wade decision.
You know, it's only been 4 months since the Dobbs decision, but we no longer have to imagine the chaos and the heartache it's causing. In just 4 months, abortion bans have gone into effect in 16 states. 26.5 million women of reproductive age already live in states subject to these bans. Today in America, there are women who have been turned away from emergency rooms while having miscarriages, losing wanted pregnancies. and told they need to wait until they're sicker before they get the care they need.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to question, where is he coming up with that? I have not heard one case. Maybe you've seen it. I haven't. I have not heard one case where a woman who wants to have a baby and is having a miscarriage issue is turned away from the hospital because of the Supreme Court ruling concerning Roe v. Wade. Not one. Now, he adds they're told to come back when they're in greater need. I don't understand where he's going with this. I don't even know the basis for it. I don't know if there is a basis for it. It's Joe Biden speaking. Keep that in mind. The same guy who said, oh, we're not really suffering any inflation, no recession. Well, so it went, it's up by a fraction. Went from 8.2 to 8.3. That's a fraction. Well, it is, but that 0.2 to 0.3, that's major in economic macro and micro numbers. It's not like you beating me by one-tenth of a second. That's like you beating me by a mile and a half on a race. So I have no idea where he's come up with that idea, that women who want to have a baby and are having miscarriages are being turned away, and because of Roe v. Wade decision that the high court decided, it is not, never has been, a constitutional right. Shouldn't be. And, of course, he mentioned that in the opening part, said, talking about women have lost their constitutional. There is no constitutional right. Never has been. Now, it had been the law of the land, just been accepted. But even Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a most liberal Supreme Court justice, said the high court went too far with that decision. She wasn't on the court at the time. In fact, that was one of the issues she had to face when Bill Clinton was considering appointing her to the Supreme Court, because Bill Clinton was told, you know, a lot of women don't like Ruth Bader because she had said that the Supreme Court should not have ruled and made Roe v. Wade protected by the Constitution. It's nowhere in the Constitution. They were using the 14th Amendment, 9th Amendment, and anything else they could cobble together to make it look like this is part of your rights, and it's not. Now the states are making their decisions where the power should rest. There are states that have totally restricted abortion, period, for any reason. I will confess to you, I do have a difficulty with that position. I think that's just as extreme as the other attitude, is that abortion is fine 9 months, all 9 months and plus. Another survey very quickly as we run out on the clock to the midterm. This is according to Forbes. Democrats have lost their advantage with voters. This is a new Siena Times poll taken in September, released yesterday, which I told you about. 49% of those surveyed, 49% said they would vote for a Republican. 45% said they would vote for a Democrat. Independent women have moved significantly to the right. The group preferred Democrats by 14 points, but now support Republicans by 18 points. And the Forbes points out that's a surprise finding concerning Roe v. Wade's reversal, expected to drive women to the left. Biden, in his comments today, was trying to explain something and referred to the red room and this room and that room. So when he gave those stats again about women not being able to get proper care if they're having a miscarriage, keep that in context as you try to understand what the man is saying in this section, please.
Look, folks, meanwhile, and I just want to make clear, I know you all know, but I'll make sure, they're talking about the right to use contraception and the right to marry who you love. I mean, anyway. I don't want to get started. Meanwhile, congressional Republicans are doubling down on their extreme positions. Kevin McCarthy, the Republican leader of the House, has said that if they take control of the House, our work is, quote, far from done. He wants the United States Congress to pass a law that would ban abortion nationwide. Senator Lindsey Graham called for an abortion ban that criminalizes doctors and nurses who provide medical care for their patients in need. If Republicans get their way with a national ban, it won't matter where you live in America. So let me be very clear. If such a bill were to pass in the next several years, I'll veto it. We can't let it pass in the first instance.
What he was whispering is, I'll veto it. That's, of course, if he's still in office, in power, and aware that it happened. Ice cream truck going by. Oh, never mind. And then Biden wrapped up his remarks.
I'm asking the American people to remember how you felt. How you felt the day the extreme Dobbs decision came down and Roe was overturned after 50 years. And I'm asking you, and by the way, it's not just affecting your young generation. It's affecting children, moms, grandmoms, grandpops, all the entire generations, all the way across the board. And I remember asking, I want you to remember that the final say does not rest in the court now. It does not rest with extremist Republicans in Congress. And finally say about your right to choose, that it rests with you. And if you do your part and vote, Democratic leaders of Congress, I promise you, will do our part. I'll do my part. And with your support, I'll sign a law codifying Roe in January. Together, let's remember who we are. We are the United States of America, and there's nothing beyond our capacity. So vote, vote, vote. God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. Thank you. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry at the end, for he said, I don't know what he later said, oh, my back was bothering me. I don't know. He's counting on Roe v. Wade being the issue. I just told you how the numbers are stacking up. When we come back, I want you to hear from the leader of the Conservative Political Action Committee, Council, I should say, and they say, no, the economy is going to be dominating, and that Joe Biden knows it.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We superjuiced the economy, as you know, for too many years with too many trillions of dollars, and it's created this inflation genie that's very hard to get back into the bottle. And by the way, for regular folks, they're really hurting. And it's not just Republicans who are hurting; it's Republicans and Democrats who are hurting. That's why Democrats are in a really tough position, because their own voters are frustrated at how much it costs to put food on the table or fuel their tank. And then you have what's behind it: back to school, all the stories of the war on parents and pushing gender confusion and all the craziness that's gotten into our curriculum. And then on top of that, the crime that's especially endemic in these big cities. You know, Democrats have no place to turn to answer the basic questions of voters.
No, they don't. And it's been created by this administration, their own leader, the Democrat Party. That's Mark Schlapp, the Conservative Political Action Coalition spokesman. There's a New York Times poll, as I pointed out earlier, that shows 45% are going to vote Democrat, 49% will vote GOP. Energy itself, just the energy cost, when he's talking about everybody is being affected by this, be you Republican, Democrat, Independent, or you just don't give a care. Energy is up 19.8%. Overall energy, gasoline, fuel, heating, up 19.8% from September 21 to September 22. And in case you missed my opening monologue, to counter this and make things more palatable and maybe get you to vote Democrat, Joe Biden is going to try to buy your votes, as I predicted. He's going to release even more barrels of oil from our strategic reserve just before the midterm elections. What great timing. Can he buy your votes that way? I'm looking at a survey by a Gallup poll compilation of various polls, and when it comes down to the percentage of Americans mentioning economic issues as their most important issue, 31% are mentioning it now. And when you go down the list of economic problems, it's inflation, economy in general, fuel and gas, lack of money, da 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 da. It's inflation, all of that. And then you look at these Democrats out there trying to win re-election in the midterm. All congressmen are out trying to get reelected if they're in office now. and a third of the Senate. Very few, very few. In fact, I would say maybe less than a handful have even invited Biden to join them on the campaign trail.
He's not in any of these states with important races. The only state he went to recently was California. We have a huge Senate race in Nevada. We have a huge Senate race in Arizona. They don't want Joe Biden. Nobody wants Joe Biden because his policies are seen as a failure. And I think, you know, what's interesting is that Republicans are out there with answers. They have specific answers. Rick Scott has a whole agenda. Kevin McCarthy has a whole agenda. You know, the Republicans who are making a difference are the ones who are saying, here's what we would do with greater political power. And for the Democrats, Maria, you know this. They moved from the center and went far extreme, woke, socialist, full on. It's just not where America is. They went too far.
They went too far. And again, those are the words of Mark Schlapp, the head of the Conservative Political Action Coalition. And Democrats recognize they went too far. And many Democrats that voted for Biden. Now, granted, much of it might have been anybody but Trump, and certainly anti-Trump. But they also believe that Uncle Joe, blue-collar type, lunch-pail Joe, who's never really worked a job in his life except as a lifeguard, basically, that he was going to stay moderate, that he'd hold the ultra-leftist at bay. He caved day one. He caved by canceling the Keystone Pipeline. That started our energy crisis, shutting down oil and gas leases and not leasing more out. All then later said, oh, well, we'll do it. And then the Interior Department said, no, we got a lot of lawsuits going on. And, of course, the cult came after him. The climate cult said, you better back off of that deal. And he did. And now we're trying to buy oil from Venezuela, communist nation, which the money is going to end up in Russia. It's the dirtiest oil and gas production in the world. But we're going to go, that's okay for them to pollute, but we're not going to do it here. When we have 300 to 500 years of gas, natural gas and oil under our feet in this country. And then, of course, you heard that they've gone too far in the sense that pushing parents against their kids and kids against the parents, trying to push gender transitions. My guest coming up next is going to talk about the Virginia Democrat who wants to put parents under criminal charges if they don't agree with their child changing sex.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find. I'm not the man they think I am at home.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I told you the other day that in Arizona that the Democrat candidate for governor just didn't have time to do a debate with her Republican challenger, former news anchor, Carrie Lake. So she rushed off to join a Virginia Democrat in her quest to basically put parents in prison, or at least criminally charge them, if they do not allow that their kids accept rainbow identities or whatever transitional sex and change that they want to have, making it a criminal charge for parents to protect their children. And in fact, take the kids away from them, in addition to putting the parents away. If anyone out there thought this was a little too strange and nobody's really doing that, my guest here says otherwise. Nathan Blake, glad to have you back on board. Senior contributor, The Federalist, glad to have you back, sir.
Thank you for having me back on.
Nathan, I'm looking at this article you wrote that says that Virginia Democrats plan to put us in prison and take our children from us if we do not endorse LGBT ideology. All right, sir, explain exactly what this Democrat wants to do.
So what happened is that a Democrat representative in the Virginia House of Delegates, Elizabeth Guzman, gave an interview saying that she was proposing a bill that would add refusing to affirm gender identity or sexual orientation as child abuse. So, as she said, parents could be charged with a misdemeanor. They could be charged with a felony. They could have their employment threatened. And, of course, their children could be taken away if they did not agree to allow their children to adopt whatever identity that the child wants. And, of course, these identities are being pushed very hard in a lot of Virginia public schools.
And on top of that, we're not just talking about them deciding if they want to be, my name is Sally, but I want to be called James, and I'm going to be a boy for now. And they're actually talking about if the kids want to go through puberty blocking and or sexual operations, if the parents are denying that, correct?
Yes, that is exactly what they mean by affirming, is that parents will go along and say, okay, if you're a teenage girl and you don't want to be a teenage girl anymore, you can amputate your breasts, you can get a hysterectomy, and so on. And my argument is that this is not simply one crazy person in the state legislature, but that this is the natural consequence of what every Democratic leader is saying about LGBT kids.
And even members, by the way, we should point out, even members of the LGBT community and even current transsexuals have voiced out, we're against this. This is making us look like a circus. We just want to live our lives. We didn't want to go this far, but this has become a rally cry for some that are that wacko. The point being, you mentioned teenager. I don't see anywhere in here where it specifies an age.
No, it's not just teenagers. This can go down into children with single-digit ages. You might have a 9-year-old put on puberty blockers and then treated in a few years after that with cross-sex hormones and then surgery. So this begins early. This is not 17-year-olds we're talking about.
Now what happens, and again, this is to, if the parent's not going to go along with it, one thing they will do, according to this proposal, is take the kids away from them. They no longer have control of their children. And two, then turn around and actually file criminal charges, possibly felony charges against the parent. This sounds so outlandish that this can't really be existing.
Well, again, she gave an interview saying all of this. I linked to that in my column. It's all on record. And furthermore, this is the natural consequence of what the Democratic Party has embraced, which is that children are born LGBT and that to not affirm that is dangerous. This is why we see everyone from Biden on down talking about how lack of affirmation is dangerous. It's harmful. And conversely, that so-called gender-affirming care is life-saving.
You are right. I've seen those stories that they say if you deny the child that, you're going to lead to misery and suicide. And yet we've also heard from some of those who have had operations and want to change back and realize they can't change back, and they're in a deep, dark space already by themselves. And nobody on the transgender arena, inside that arena, will come help them now. They were all about them when they were wanting to make a change, have the operations. But now that they've done it and they realize this is a mistake, they're not getting support.
Yes, and that is horrible, but that is what is being mandated in states such as California. Again, this is not one single legislature. California has said that if a minor child comes to California and wants so-called gender-affirming care, then California will shelter that child from their own parents who consent to these surgical and chemical procedures being done on their child.
Now that
that's
is actually
law that has yeah, passed. That,
that's actually
in
a law that's passed.
Larger state.
Right, that is actually passed in California, correct? So that is existing law. So if a child in Virginia has a friend, a relative, or someone who supports them in making this, if they get them to California, they will go ahead and let them do whatever they want to have done to them without the parents ever being notified, correct?
Yes.
So what are the odds that this Virginia Democrat Guzman is going to get her bill passed in Virginia in the House of Delegates?
I'd say that right now it's not happening. Her own party realized that she said the quiet part out loud, and they're distancing themselves. Glenn Youngkin, Virginia's Republican governor, has been strong on parental rights. But what's, again, and I keep hitting this point, this is not outlandish. This is simply saying loudly what they were trying to do quietly.
And as you said, they have set it in motion and the train is moving forward.
Yes.
And you also pointed out several times that this is the natural outcome if we just allow them to have their way because, oh, we don't want to offend. You know, we don't want to say, you know, if they want to be called she, he, whatever, then if you don't comply, then you're going to offend them. You're going to hurt their feelings. And so we're just going to give in to every child that has a sudden whim, and regardless of how we know it might hurt them down the road.
Yes, and on that, 2 points. One, it is logical that if gender affirmation, as they call it, is life-saving, then a parent who doesn't provide that would, in fact, be abusive. And two, you said that it's often a whim, and that's exactly correct. The rates of increase we are seeing on this show that it is a social contagion. This is not a few isolated individuals. This is every troubled young person suddenly having a new identity to latch on to, and a lot of them are. And unfortunately, there are lifelong consequences if these children are given medical treatments, if they are put on puberty blockers, if they are put on hormones, if they are subject to surgery. They will be sexually dysfunctional. They will be sterilized. They will have a host of health problems, from brittle bones to potential brain development issues. But this is what a lot of Democrats want to mandate, is that as soon as a child says, I think I was born into the wrong body, suddenly it's all affirmation, all treatment, and nobody's slowing down. Nobody's saying, wait, let's stop and think about this.
Well, and the thing, as you said, it's a natural outcome. I mean, when we have medical schools teaching OBGYNs that you really should not determine the sex of the baby, let the parents decide, and then the parents say, well, we're going to let them grow up to decide. I mean, we're going to defy science at this point, and we're told constantly to follow it during COVID. It's got a penis, it's a boy. If it doesn't, it's a girl. And very rare cases involve both or neither. This is staggering every time I think about it, and I'm glad you're keeping an eye on it, Nathaniel, because I just feel that they're going to push it as far as they can if we allow them. The point is, don't allow them.
Yes. Well said.
Nathaniel Blake, senior contributor to The Federalist, and we'll continue to follow these articles up as well. I do appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. We'll do it again. Folks, this is, it does sound like it's just so far out that it wouldn't happen, but if you ignore it, if you just say, well, it's a one-off, it's not. And our children are at stake. I told you, one of the things I push on this program is I will protect children, period. Coming up, a threat of Halloween on the forefront.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli C, coming soon, joining Cafe Napoli St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
Early in the evening, just about supper time, over by the courthouse, they're starting to unwind. Four kids on the corner, trying to bring him up. Willie picks a tune out, and he throws it on the hum. Down on the corner, out in the street.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So before I tell you about the concern about Halloween coming up that I want you to keep in mind, and part of it involves your dollars and cents, and it also involves the safety of your children. But before that, the official word came out the other day, and I hadn't had time to get to it. The CDC, according to one expert, says put the CDC back in charge of fighting COVID-19. Saying the Biden administration should empower the CDC and put it in the forefront to continue fighting the COVID-19 pandemic. He did so. He made that statement. He's a doctor, Peter Holtis, at a vaccine conference sponsored by the Baker Institute for Public Policy at Rice University the other day. He said, I think the answer is fixing the CDC, empowering the CDC. This is stuff. You're fixing, I understand, but empowering? I don't want to give these guys any more power, not the way they abused it last time. And then he says, and putting them out in front together with the state and local health agencies, because I think the other thing the pandemic revealed was the chronic underfunding of state and local health agencies. He said, until we do that, we're ready, not really ready for another pandemic. Well, God help us if we don't have another pandemic. I mean, that's constantly in my prayers, I'm sure in yours as well. Now, this guy is a fellow in disease and poverty and a dean at the National School of Tropical Medicine at Baylor College in Houston. And he said, I know some are proposing to create a pandemic threat center in D.C. He said, I say that's probably the last thing you want to do because that's what got us in trouble in the first place, having things run out of Washington. To that point, I fully agree. He said, we want to get as far away from Washington as you can. He suggested Atlanta is as good a place as any. And he said when it comes to fighting the pandemic, the CDC came up small every time. They missed the entry of the virus from Southern Europe into New York, which is true. All eyes were on travel restrictions from China. That is true. And the viruses came in from Southern Europe and caused that terrible epidemic in New York. It was circulating for weeks. Nobody picked it up. Nobody led an effort to stop it in its tracks and prevent it from going across the nation. He's absolutely true, because if you recall, there were cases coming out of Europe, primarily, I believe, in Italy. And that's why it emerged on the East Coast, out of that region, as opposed to on the West Coast, out of China primarily. But I had to be really careful about it. I want to give the CDC more power and authority. You know, maybe with the idea that it's controlled by people that are really looking out for your interest and not trying to build their own personal wealth and ego. Dr. Fake. Never mind. He will be gone by then. Supposedly going to retire at the end of this year. Not because he expects to lose his job, but he's saying, basically, I've done my work here. Time to move on. You certainly did something, didn't you? All right, so are you big on giving out Halloween treats this year? The Bureau of Labor Statistics points out, here's another inflation issue. Now, this kids don't understand inflation. They're kind of like most Democrats. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. They're like Democrats who ignore inflation until they realize, gee, this costs more than it did. That's inflation. And you don't have the money coming in to make up the difference. The Bureau of Labor Stats says the cost of candy and chewing gum soared 13% compared to a year earlier, the highest increase ever recorded. The surge in candy prices being driven by, guess what? Well, rising cost of ingredients, sugar and flour. Sugar 17% higher than last year. Flour up even more, 24% higher. Cakes, cupcakes, cookies all up 16%. And then we had a drought in the northern states affecting the beet sugar crops. And, of course, you got supply chain issues from the pandemic. And Ukraine, throw that in there, too. Throw it all in. Bottom line is prices are skyrocketing. The cost of a large pumpkin going from $4.92 to $5.68. Halloween costumes tripling in some cases. And yet Americans are still projected to spend $10.6 billion on Halloween this year. Not me. I'm not spending anywhere near a record amount compared to any other year. $10.6 billion, $3.4 billion on just decorations. We used to put out a large bowl of candy at the front porch if we were taking our kids going door to door. So if they came to our house, there'd be something available. We put a sign up. Please take just one or two, leave some for others. I happened to have to go back to the house one night because I'd forgotten something. Maybe the cell phone. I don't recall. I went back. We hadn't been gone 15 minutes, and the whole bowl was empty. Somebody just took somebody or a group, just took them and dumped them all in their bags, and they were gone. I have to tell you, I kind of thought, I hope they get sick. They didn't eat all of that one night. They deserve it. But I do want to warn you this. You got to make sure you check every piece of candy coming in this time because fentanyl is being pushed around in rainbow-looking pills. They might be substituted in some boxes that look to be real. You need to make sure you check everything your child brings in. If you have any doubt, throw it out. Used to be worried about razor blades and apples. Now we got to worry about fentanyl mixed in with our kids' trick-or-treat candy. Coming up, more on the latest revelations involving Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and those business deals.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.